I think I've lost my shoes.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
When I came into the studio, I had both shoes. I know I did. And then I was walking around and doing stuff, and then I looked down at my feet. I noticed I only had one shoe on. What happened to the other shoe? Is it loose? Did it come off? So I started searching everywhere for the other shoe. I looked behind the couch, under the chair. I couldn't find it. And then I looked down at my feet, and now I had no shoes on. Now I can't find any of my shoes. It's so bothersome. What happened to my shoes?
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Was it going to do the whole show talking about how we can't find his shoes? Seriously? Congratulate me. I have not been on Facebook now for over a year. Ron, it's like, that's like going off of opioids. How are you able not to go on Facebook? It's really easy. I forgot my password, first of all. And secondly, I have absolutely no desire. And I don't like those people. I don't like the Facebook people. That guy, I can't remember, is Mark Gutenberg, Steve Gutenberg, the guy who, he's like a zillionaire and he's still wearing t-shirts. I'm not into that, man. If you're making that kind of money, let's dress like it, you know, at least put some clothes on, you know, put some shoes on. I bet he knows where his shoes are. I'm not Steve Gutenberg because I would never want to have that much money. Can you imagine having so much money that you can have anything you want as much as you want of it? It's, you know, that wouldn't be fun anymore. It would be, that'd be depressing. It'd be awful. It'd be awful. I'm willing to try it. I'm just saying it would be awful. Toward the end of the show today, I have this author who's written a very interesting book about a stock market guru. Not the kind that took people's money, but the kind that actually kind of knew how to invest and stuff like that. So we're not going to talk about how to invest because that's boring. This book is about this incredible genius of, he just knew like when to make the right moves and stuff, when to buy and sell. And wouldn't that be wonderful just to know those things? I think that's one talent I would love to have. Yeah, I'd love to have the talent of just knowing when to do things. Ron, it's time to shut up. Oh, I knew that. I would love to know when I should do things and when I shouldn't do, to make these decisions that would just come, no, I'm not going to do that right now. I'm going to do it at 6 o'clock tomorrow. That will be the right time. How do you know this? That's a talent that I want to have. All right. That's enough. That'll be enough. That'll be quite enough. Thank you very much. Welcome to the program. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. I am Ron Van Dam. I do this on a regular basis, very similar to eating fiber. Thanks for listening. You can hear a new show every weekday, anytime you want. It's not like you're going to say, oh my God, I missed that incredible Ron show today. It's always there. We're on newenglandbroadcasting.com and ronvandam.com. So you can listen anytime you want. Just, you know, when you're driving in your car and you feel like, well, I haven't really fell asleep at the wheel in a long time, this show is available for you accordingly. We're on iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Radio Public, YouTube, Podbean Network. They host the program. SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Player FM, and Podbay each and every day, every new episode. So many of them, just so many of them. You can actually binge listen to 450 episodes. I don't recommend it, but you could theoretically. But don't. It'll drive you nuts. It's driven me nuts. Listen to me. Anyway, and then, of course, various radio stations across the country, we've become syndicated in some very nice cities. So thank you for listening there as well. Okay, and I thank you individually. I thank Bobby and Anita and Joey and Frank and Marcia and Peter. Thank you, all of you. There was a show, I've talked about this, I've talked about everything before, so like this is not a repeat show. It's a new show. It is, I swear it is. It's January 14th, 2020, okay? It's a new show. When I was growing up, there was a show on television called Romper Room. Did you watch a show called Romper Room? And it was a regional show. Each major city television market had their own Romper Room person. And it would be usually this semi-attractive lady, not really, who would stand up in front of a classroom of like 10 or 12 little shits, I mean children. And they would play games, and we would watch it on television as if we were in a classroom. And the teacher would be like Miss Nancy or Miss Pamela. There's never a guy. Guys don't do this. The nursery school teachers, the kindergarten teachers, they were kindergarten teachers, I believe, would always be, there'd always be a woman, Miss Francis, that kind of thing. And she would stand up in front of the television set there on the camera, and she would play games with you. And she did a thing where she would take a mirror, and she would hold up this mirror, but there'd be no mirror in the mirror holder. It would just be like you could see right through the little mirror that she would hold up. And she would point it toward the camera, and she would say, "I see Tommy, I see Bobby, I see Joan, I see Francis." I don't know why I'm saying Francis so much. "I see Robert." And if your name watching at home happened to be Robert, you actually had your first orgasm. It was like, how did she know my name? She's talking directly to me. It was a very connected kind of experience. It was wonderful. And they had this not only in every city in the country, they also, it was very, very popular. They also had it like in other countries, these romper room ladies. Do you remember this? Okay, again, here we go again. Disclaimer, spoiler alert, if you're a millennial, you don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. If you're 50 years old or really preferably older, you would remember what I'm talking about. So this is more of an education for something that you didn't experience, millennials. I don't know. I can't relate to you anymore. I just can't relate to you anymore. We're just like from different, I can't bring up the past because you'll look at me like, what are you talking about? Yeah, I know. It's one of those sad things. I've done this before on the show. I'm going to do it again. Damn it. Romper Room was a show. They had a romper room in France. They had a romper room in Australia. They had a romper room in England. And here's a little bit of a clip of the actual romper room in England. Seriously.
Circle's a little bit bigger and you have some more room. Had enough, have you? Okay, Daniel. Just put it on the tray and then come and join us. Feet apart, everybody. Down to your toes we go. And look up into the sky. Maybe we'll see some clouds today. Was it raining at your house this morning? Let's see if we can chase the rain away then. Ready, please, Mr. Music.
Mr. Music.
Stretch up. A few clouds over there, I think. Uh-huh. A few black ones over there.
A few black ones. Here we go.
Bend and stretch right up.
Very Let's sing.
Bend and stretch, reach for the stars. There goes Jupiter, here comes Mars.
Clever.
Bend and stretch, reach for the sky. Stand on tippy toe, oh so high.
That was fun.
Now I can see some black clouds over there.
Yeah,
they're big fluffy ones.
Yeah.
Do you think any rain would come out of those?
Nope, don't think so.
They have to be black and dark.
Yeah,
the sun's
be black
over
and
here,
dark.
Or maybe
right.
The sun and the wind is going to push those clouds away and the rain will go.
Shut up. Okay, millennials, that's what it was like. And every morning, children would gather around the television set in their homes and they'd watch this Miss, whatever her name was, do these little games with the children. And that was a part of my childhood. Kind of. I was within that general area. Now, some of you are probably saying, Ron, you're a fossil. I don't know what the hell you're talking about. Can you move on to another subject? Because I don't know what you're talking about. And then other people will say, oh my God, Ron, no one's talked about romper room like in 200 years. I think Jesus used to watch romper room. I think that's how old this thing is. Oh, by the way, a lot of people think that there was no television when Jesus was around. That's not true. Let me tell you why. If a person or something can walk around turning water into wine, if people like Moses can like part the sea, if people like Noah can build arks, which is like people do build boats, I get that. But to gather two of every animal so that they can have sex on the boat, I mean, every animal, that's a monumental task. If someone can do that, if a guy named Moses can actually like walk through the desert and go up on a mountain and see a burning bush and start talking to it and receive tablets from it, when's the last time you received tablets from a bush? Make your own joke. I mean, if you can do all that, then I damn think you can certainly watch television in the Jesus times. I really think that was possible because miracles occurred. Miracles occurred back then. You see, I'm a millennial when it comes to biblical times. I wasn't born around then. I know some of you might refute that, but I wasn't. I wasn't there. But some incredible stuff was happening. People were making things happen. Can you imagine? I've said this before. Jesus was a carpenter. If I knew how to turn water into wine, I would have dropped the carpentry business immediately. Forget making these cabinets. I'm going to make a fortune turning water into wine. My father isn't into it and suggests that I don't, but think of the possibilities. I wouldn't have to have orchards and step on grapes and stuff and wait for the stuff to ferment in a barrel. I could just like turn water into wine by like just thinking really hard. Jesus Vineyards. I like the ring to that. Jesus Vineyards. I love it. I know what we can put on the label. I'll be sitting at a table with a lot of other apostles, and we're all going to sit on the same side of the table for the photographer, because otherwise you'll see people's backs, and that's not good for the label of our wine company. And we'll sit there and we'll have a supper. We'll have a supper with wine and good food. What could be more pleasant than that? That'll be the label of the Jesus wines. Oh, yeah, we've got carpentry. Bye-bye. Don't need you anymore. Well, that's not what actually happened, as far as I know. So, you know, someone missed an opportunity somewhere. People used to walk through the desert a lot back then. I don't know if there were a lot of towns or cities. I don't think Mayberry, North Carolina was there yet. But people like walked through the desert a lot. Yeah, they didn't have real shoes to lose. They had sandals. Can't go through the desert without a sandal. We all know that, don't we? A camel and a sandal. That's all you need. And I'm not talking about the animal, the camel. I'm talking about that cigarette that was non-filtered. Whew, man, that was strong stuff. When I was growing up, and I think I did at a point, I'm not sure, I had a friend named Ricky who smoked camels. Yeah. And I used to make a joke about it. Ricky used to say, hey, Ron, you got a camel? Have you got a cigarette? You got a camel? And I used to say, like, one humper, too. And we would laugh and laugh and laugh. But Ricky would just stick this thing in his mouth, no filter at all, and he'd light this up. And I don't know if he's still alive or not. He was a non-filter guy. And every once in a while, he would kind of like play with his lips because he would get tobacco stuck in it from like the backdraft or something or whatever you call that. But he would love that. He was a tobacco boy. Yeah. I remember that distinctly. I remember a lot of things distinctly, except for where my shoes are. I have no idea at this point. I've talked about this before as well. I own two pairs of shoes, brown and black. It covers everything. I wear either brown or black. I used to wear sneakers, and then I said to myself, why? I'll just wear one of the shoes, one of the pairs of shoes, not just one shoe. So it's brown or black. Every woman I've ever known who has more than $10 has 200 pairs of shoes. I'm going to be wearing red socks today. Where are my red shoes? Why don't you just wear the black shoes? Ike will not go outside. If I'm wearing red socks, I must find those red shoes. They're here somewhere amongst my 200 pairs of shoes. I had broccoli yesterday. That was green. Where are my green shoes? It's just phenomenal. You women are crazy. You have shoe fetishes that men just don't have. Unless you're a basketball player and you make $20 million a year, then you're in a situation where, what can I spend my money on? Shoes. And also, when you play basketball, you have sneakers and athletic footwear. So if you don't buy enough shoes or buy enough athletic footwear, then you just buy the athletic footwear company. Or you turn water into wine, one or the other. Our guest joins us right after this.
You may say to yourself, I listen to and enjoy the Ron Van Dam podcast. What does that say about me as a person? You're probably going to want to sit down for this one. It's going to take a while, and it's not, you know, good. It's the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
The man, the company, and the investment philosophy, Cornelius Bond, joins us now. How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you.
Cornelius is, he's an expert in the field. It's the first ever biography of investing. How did you become so involved in this?
In the investment world?
Yes, in the investment world.
Yes, I graduated as an electrical engineer and thought that was going to be my career, but I took a course at night and my teacher was, they had a research for T. Rowe Price, which is a small company in Baltimore at that point in time. And he talked me into joining T. Rowe Price, so that's how I went over. Prior to that, I must say that I'd been given some graduation money from college, which I'd invested in a company called Texas Instruments, big electrical engineer.
Yeah, I've heard of that. Sure.
they were one of the first in the semiconductor business. So that was a very successful investment. It made it a lot easier for him to convince me to come with Tivo Price.
I would assume so. So through the years, you've developed a philosophy, I understand.
Well, yes, Mr. Price built his company on really two premises. One was a great service to the his clients, mm-hmm. and secondly, a wonderful stock market performance. Mm-hmm. And his first mutual fund, the Growth Stock Fund, had the best 10-year performance of any other U.S. mutual fund.
Wow.
That was devoted to big companies. And his second mutual fund, which I was involved with him actually by then, I joined the firm, was the New Horizons Fund, and it had the best 10-year record of any mutual fund, irrespective of category. So that demonstrate that that wasn't a flash in the pan. I just recently went back to review the records of these two particular funds,
right.
And both were in the top 5% of all mutual funds over the past 10, 15, and 20 years. Mm-hmm. So, and both were managed according to what he called the growth stock philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a philosophy of investing in companies, not stocks, uh-huh. which was so popular then and still is popular, unfortunately, I think. He didn't invest in any company that he expected to sell. He did sell companies when their growth began to diminish.
Right.
But
the theory was to stay for the long haul.
Stay for the long haul.
Yeah.
And basically, and I go into this in some detail, this growth stock philosophy in the book, but in summary, it was really investing in the best managed companies in the most fertile fields for growth with a good return on capital. As his grandmother used to tell him, she used to say, that's just horse sense.
Well, we cleaned that up. Okay. Having known T. Rowe Price and actually doing the biography of the book on him, in this day and age of internet stocks, internet companies, and the stock market hitting new heights all the time, would his philosophy still stand? And what do you think his impression of this would be? Would it be the same old market, or would this be a different ballgame?
Well, as I say, at least on a longer-term basis, it certainly seems to be holding up very mm-hmm. well. Being in the top 5% of all mutual funds,
mm-hmm.
these two particular funds that follow his philosophy.
Yeah.
I think, well, Mr. Price said, he used to tell us younger folks, I was a younger folk at that time, that he'd never met anybody in his entire professional career
yes.
that could guess the stock market more than twice.
Right.
And I have to say, during my investment career, I would repeat that.
Yeah.
So I think it's who knows actually which way the market itself will go.
Yeah.
If you said, what's it going to do over 50 years? I would say it's probably going to repeat
its
return well over inflation over the next 50 years.
Yeah.
Short term is not, who knows?
I mean, a little bit off of the beaten path, though, with your expertise, let me ask you, it's very difficult, I would assume, for someone to get into the game right now because the levels are so high. How much higher can they go? That's a bigger chance than if you got in when things were mild. And then they grew, and you did well. You understand? It's just like, how do you jump into the water when the water is so already high?
Well, he never advised anybody to jump into the market with one investment.
Uh-huh.
He recommended at least taking a year, and in some cases 2 years, to invest in a stock on a monthly average basis.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you're not going to buy at the low and you're not going to buy at the high, but hopefully mm-hmm. you'll buy at the average price over the next 6 months to a year.
Right.
So it's very difficult to say. I will say it's an interesting market in the sense that the Fed has greatly devalued money with lowering its interest rates to the level that it did. And this is not just here, of course, but it's overseas as well, where you actually have negative interest rates.
Right.
So this naturally has added to the rate of inflation. And there's an article about inflation and stagflation possibly in China in the Wall Street Journal today. And gold, as you may know, is moving up.
Yes.
And stocks are a very good hedge against inflation.
Right.
So rather than have your money continue to be in dollar bills in a vault, obviously you want enough for a rainy day, and you want enough to take care of your needs, immediate needs, and you want to be careful about it. As I said, you want a dollar average.
Yeah.
But given all those constraints, beginning the dollar average would not be a bad policy given the facts of the market today.
Yeah. Well, as long as the interest rates are gauged artificially, then you don't know what's going to happen, because I don't think it's a true picture. I think it's a picture of manipulation in a sense. Anyway, it's a fascinating book, and whether you're interested in investing or not, it's a great insight into, I guess, what you would call a guru of that field.
Yes, he certainly had one of the best, perhaps the best record of the 20th century.
Mm-hmm.
He died in 1983, and as I said, his wisdom lives on in continued good performance, at least of his investment philosophy. And I want to just make clear, guessing the future, particularly the stock market, I highly don't recommend, except for, as I said, slowly averaging into any market and only put it investing what you can afford to do.
Right.
as an aside, I think that his biggest concern today would actually be our balance of trade and balance of our overall deficit of our economy.
Well, that too.
That's a major concern.
Well, that's amazing to me that the deficit is so out of control, and yet the market is still climbing. Those two didn't used to coexist in the past.
Well, yeah, but both do add to inflation.
Yes,
inflation risk that we're talking about.
Yes. Okay. Well, it's fascinating stuff. I could talk to you for hours, but I'm not allowed to. That's why he wrote the book. T. Rowe Price. The book is T. Rowe Price, The Man, The Company, and The Investment Philosophy. And this is a Cornelius Bond. It's gotten some great reviews, and it helps give insight into these minds that we would all like to have just a piece of. Thank you so much for your time. Is there a website or some place that we can get more information?
Yes, it's CorneliusBond.com. And, of course, if you're interested in the book, Amazon carries it.
Great.
As well.
It's great speaking to you.
Well, it's very nice to be on your show. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Cornelius. You take care.
You too.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, that will do it for me today, ladies and gentlemen. You have been so tolerant and so patient. I don't know how you do it. I couldn't do it. I can do it. So I don't know what you're going to do now that the show's over and I've exhausted you mentally. Obviously, you've already taken your nap. Many of you are saying, oh, the show's over already? I fell asleep in the middle. Was it good? No, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. You didn't miss anything. I don't know what you're going to do now. Have a little bite to eat or something, mow the lawn, shovel the snow, mow the lawn. There's no lawn. It's January. A couple of days ago, we're up in the Boston area here where we emanate this show, and we emanate it. It was like this past weekend, On Sunday, it was 69 degrees in certain places. Around the studio here, it was like 67 degrees. What the hell? What the hell? It broke a record for January. What the hell? What the hell? What's going on? It's not really funny. All this climate change thing? What the hell? I mean, California, wildfires? What the hell? The Amazon, and I'm not talking about the company, the warehouse that brings you all the items within 48 hours and shipping is free. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the actual Amazon, like a whole ecosystem in South America basically burned. And what the hell? Australia, wildfires, entire islands the size of West Virginia. Seriously. That's an accurate geographical statement. 500,000 animals died in this wildfire in Australia. That's significant. That's a lot of animals. 500,000 animals? Are you serious? Something's happening, man. Flooding. Venice underwater. Like a lot. More than ever. More water than ever. Something's happening. The polar ice caps are melting. The level of the seas and the oceans is getting higher. Temperatures are warmer than ever, causing different jet streams and flooding. Things are happening. Let's not be silly about it. It's a serious problem. And some politicians are trying to get it together. But in the meantime, we're killing ourselves. I'll tell you something to be serious at the end of a comedy show. I'll tell you something. It's a football analogy. I hate sports. I'm not into it. I played them when I was younger, but that's not your business. I'm not into sports as much as some of you that yell at the television screen and in bars you go crazy and you start screaming. It's not me. It's not me. But I do know one thing about football. When I would watch a football game, and I do every once in a while, when a team loses a football game, it's very often because they pretty much lost it for themselves. They didn't play well. They weren't organized. Their communication skills were bad. Players were dropping the passes from the quarterback. They were their own worst enemy. They lost the games themselves because they weren't smart about it. That's us, ladies and gentlemen, as a society, as a civilization. We're going to lose the game because we're just not that smart about it. You have yourselves a wonderful day. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. Until then, I wish you peace.